Hey, it's Glenn here again, a bonus episode from FinCon in Orlando. Today I have Aaron Chase, who is probably one of the original mummy bloggers in the States. So we're going to have a great time together. So let's get into it.
Hey, you're listening to My Millennial Money.
So, Aaron, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I wish I had John and Aaron here because I might actually tell them to come to Washington next year.
They need to be there.
Actually, Aaron would probably come just for a holiday event.
Totally needs to be there.
Yeah.
She totally needs to be there.
Yeah.
We can just do a big old sesh.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And so I actually did a bit of stalking because I felt a little bit bad when I asked you today or yesterday, like, how big are you? But Erin has been all over national television.
True.
She's like the original mummy blogger. And I looked at your Pinterest, $5 dinners. If you're into Pinterest, I think there was like 2.5 million unique views a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know what you're talking about when it comes to food and families and everything in between.
Yep, I like to think I've got like the grocery line item figured out, and I can help with that stuff. So
I guess off the top of my head, like, are there any like myths or stuff that you see online all the time that's actually not true?
About saving money on food?
Yeah, or like anything that comes to mind to do with food, money, and this like doesn't really have to be money related, but it all kind of will tie back in, but anything that you see that's absolute BS that you're always blogging against? Or
I think people think they can't save money specifically on food, or they think they can't cut back their fast food spending or their takeout spending or their, you know, Uber Eats deliveries, right? I think people feel like they can't do that. And that's something that I see maybe more spoken about, not, you know, other bloggers or other, you know, influencers or social media mavens talking like that, but more just like consumers. Like, there's this underlying, like, just from my friends and comments from our communities, and just like, I just can't figure out how to get past, like, or I'm like, I have to eat out, or I have to, does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, it's,
yeah.
But you don't have to do that. Like, it's just this thought, this idea, because our world is moving so quickly.
Mm.
And we all live in these crazy busy fast paced lives.
Yeah.
That you have to resort to dining out or getting takeout or whatever. But
yeah.
I don't think that's really the case. I think you just have to kind of rethink about how you position, you know, the fact that we have to eat every single day into your day and into your life.
Yeah.
And then you won't end up having to spend so much money eating out and dining out.
Mm.
Does that make sense? It's more maybe like a consumer myth, but I speak against that. Or I, not against it, but I speak to help you shift from, you know what, I can actually eat at home more without losing my mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I can get a meal made for the family in less time than I can go through the drive-thru.
And cheaper.
Legit.
And healthier. Yeah.
Cheaper, healthier.
Yeah.
And I do that in different ways. But it's like, you know, one might be a slow cooker meal. Like, I can hands-on full meal in the slow cooker in less than 5 minutes.
Wow.
When I go, if you go to the drive-thru during like a mealtime hour, you're sitting there for 6, 7, 8, 10, 15 minutes sometimes.
Wow.
Yes, it's easy because you don't have to think about it and they're doing it for you. Just throw the trash away, whatever, whatever. There are those components of it, but it gets unhealthy and expensive super fast.
Yeah.
And so when you can kind of hack, I don't want to say like kitchen hack, but you can like kitchen hack your way to dinner on the table and get yourself out of that mindset of I have to eat out, I have to call for delivery, I have to do this. Of course, there's seasons where it's more or less, but you know, when it comes down to it, to save money on food.
Do you find that there's been a shift in culture in the States? Because there's been a bit of a shift in Australia. So I guess when I first came to the States, maybe 10, 12, 13, whatever it was, years ago, eating out was a big part of the family, right? Because you had all these chain restaurants and it was cheaper to take the kids and the family to a chain. At the time in Australia, eating out wasn't a bigger thing, but what's happening in Australia now is the cafe culture is really there. And I mean, you can go out for brunch on a Saturday, and if you've got a partner, like, it's going to be $50 for some eggs on toast with a coffee. So that culture is... The good thing is with Australia, the food is quite healthy, but the cost creeps in. So do you find there's been a shift, particularly with Whole Foods in the States? But that's so bloody expensive as well. Like, I went and got a salad the other day. Like, whenever I travel anywhere, I'm like, I need Whole Foods, where are you? And I'll try and book hotel or Airbnb near it. But it's like, I walk in and I'm spending $12 on a salad. So have you noticed any shifts?
From dining out to eating home and dining out and eating healthy?
Yeah.
You know, I think it, I feel like the shift, you know, here it's always, everybody eats out. Like, it just, it is, everybody eats out. I'm not against eating out by any means.
Yeah.
I am pro eating out within your budget.
Yeah.
You want to make a big budget for eating out and a smaller budget for groceries, by all means do that. But don't do that if you're running in the red every month or you're running, you have some big expense coming up, or you've just applied for like a home improvement loan or something like that.
I kind of tell people, it's like, if you're on a budget and you're saving or you're trying to get out of debt, pick your battles, pick 2 days a week. If it's the Saturday brunch or the Sunday brunch or the Friday night, just pick one.
Right.
It's funny, I'm probably guilty of eating out. Like, I have breakfast out every morning at a cafe and I buy my lunch out every day. So the only nights I'm really eating at home are Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday night. But I make sure they're healthy meals and... But I mean, it's in my budget, so...
Right. You've planned that. You've planned your life and your schedule around that. And we're the same way. We have breakfast tacos most Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
They're super cheap because I live in the land of cheap tacos.
Yeah, Texas.
Yes, Texas. But that's part of our plan, right? And we typically will go out to dinner as a family. We have four kids, four boys.
Wow.
Sometimes our third son will eat adult meals. So we're basically soon going to be paying for six adult meals.
It's, wow.
So we can't go to crazy fancy places unless it's a real special occasion, right? But it's all part of our budget. Like, we have this much food, dining out budget or takeout budget. My husband and I each have, it's a lunch allowance.
Yeah.
We take out $60 a month for each of us, which is actually enough for me to go out to lunch several times, maybe twice a week. But that's all, I take the cash. That's all I get.
Yeah.
This is my $60 for the month. And I do work from an office, so it's very tempting. But the rest of the time, I just bring something from home. And it's doable, but that's because we've set it up that way. And then the other meals, it's as cheap as I can get them, you know, at home. But back to your question about culture shift, I think that it's more of like where you're at in life.
Sure.
You know, I used to eat out a ton when I was single, and then we got married and it was like, okay, We didn't have a ton of money at that time. You know, we just had to be really extra mindful.
Mm.
And then we had kids and more kids and more kids and more kids. Yeah. We had to be so much more mindful. So I 15 years ago, eating out was okay and a thing and part of the budget.
Yeah.
Now it's like twice a week, three times a week, you know, for twice a week for the family. And then maybe once or twice myself and then my husband himself.
Mm.
And so I don't know that culturally, I think eating out and dining out and now delivery and pickup and all that they've made it very easy.
Mm.
Type it in on the app, pay for it on the app, walk in, they'll bring it out to your car now. Like, it, you know, retail or restaurants and grocery stores have made it real easy to do that. And in a season of life right now, that's pretty great for me to just walk up and Zoe's Kitchen brings out my kebabs and salad, right?
Wow.
That's the lunch I chose that day.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty fantastic. But I think the culture's always been there. I think it's just as you move through life and your priorities change and you have to reallocate your money, especially in your, you know, from dining out to groceries and whatnot.
Mm.
I think that's kind of shifted. At least that's what we've seen in our communities.
Yeah.
And people, you know, I think when it comes to cutting something in your budget, food is the fastest one, the easiest one. Yes, you have to make some changes to your schedule and maybe your lifestyle. Like, you wouldn't go to the cafe every morning on your way to the office, or, you know, you would just have to make something for yourself to grab, even if it's as simple as like yogurt and a banana, right? You just kind of shift it around and all of a sudden you have this money you can do something else with. And so I've always taken that approach. Like, if you need to cut, start with food.
Yeah.
Like, pick one thing. I'm all about the simplicity as well. Like, pick one thing and change that one thing so that you're spending less
Yeah, I find like once I was really strict on my food budget when I was just starting out my business, I didn't have any money, and like I would walk, like I've got $60 to spend in Woolworths, which is the grocer, and I would walk down the aisle with my phone in my hand on flight mode, so I didn't get distracted with the calculator.
And good every for time you.
I put something in the trolley,
I'd
add it, and like I got to the end, it's like, oh, hang on, I still haven't got, you know, almond milk or whatever, so I've got to like put something back and trade off. And another trick that I found, and it's probably the same here in the States, it was cheaper, you know, to go, instead of getting pre-wrapped deli ham from the aisle, go over to the deli, and it's like a third of the price.
Have them slice it for you. Because you're not paying for
the packaging, it's probably fresher. So, and if you're listening, always go shopping. I say to people, always go shopping with two things, full tummy and a list.
Exactly. Preach it.
It's so crazy.
Because right, if you don't, then what happens?
I went shopping once. It was the day before I had to get some surgery on my ankle.
Oh, no.
And I was fasting that day, right? And so I'm like, oh, this is my last day walking for 2 months, so I'm going to go to the shops.
So you were fasting because of your surgery and you had to go shopping for your recovery time?
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is a recipe for disaster.
I purchased a microwave cheeseburger. And then, like, I never had it because I was like, what the hell?
That's disgusting.
So, yeah, so it's amazing how much money that you can waste going shopping. Now, we've got a lot of listeners who are in their early 20s and they might be thinking of moving out of home with a friend or a partner or whatever the situation is. What do you think are the absolute must staples for them to have in their fridge or pantry or freezer, so they can buy the, you know, the fresh protein and produce to be able to throw stuff together? Like, what are some of the staples that you would recommend?
So I take kind of a three-part approach to the plate, to your dinner plate, right? So that would just be carbs of some kind, or not, if you're on a specific low-carb or no-carb diet. Protein and vegetables and or fruit, kind of depending on the meal and the combo. Certain things for dinner I like to serve fruit with, but most of the time it's vegetables. So, you know, you're going to get the fresh produce and the fresh meat at the store that week, or unless you're playing the game where you're stocking up, you would get a couple packages and, you know, waiting until it's on sale again. So you might have that in your freezer, stashed in your freezer if you stock up on meat like that, which is a great strategy and I highly recommend it.
What do you think about, like, and I don't know because I don't know anything about food, but, you know, buying the meat at the shops when it's like, it might have been a $10 steak and it's a red discount $2 because it's got to go that day. Is it still worth grabbing that and freezing it, like, when you can?
Absolutely. I totally play that game. Sure. And I actually know, and you can even ask your store's either manager or meat manager, depending on the store.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, when do you mark down meat?
Yeah.
And go in then. So for at my grocery store, it's... they rarely mark down chicken. That's more of like they just had extra inventory, so they can't tell me which particular day. With the ground beef, because they do that in the store, if they have an overstock, they have to sell it. They do their overstock on Wednesdays for the beef. And so I'm like, Wednesday, buzzing through. Let me see what I can stock up on. I personally do a lot of that because it just, every dollar counts, especially with expensive proteins.
Like I tell people when buying a property or a house, you make the money on the buy. You save the money on the buy. We could probably apply that methodology to buying expensive meat.
Yes,
make
absolutely.
Your money, save your money on the buy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you save it. So what do you do? What do you do with this $10 steak you just got for 33% off or whatever the store, however the store marks it down?
Yeah.
You either cook it that night.
Yeah.
You know, if you did make a plan, you'd have to shift it around, cook it that night. My favorite thing to do is, you know, either grab some sort of a rub or a marinade or a simple sauce that you already have those ingredients at home and just toss it in there with the meat, whether it's a steak or chicken or pork chops or whatever.
Yeah.
Put that into the freezer. And then later when you want to go make a meal, you're like, oh, I already have the meat. It's already in a sauce. I let it thaw. It marinates while it's thawing. And then it just cooks beautifully. It tastes so much better because it had that all that time to marinate. And so that's what I personally do.
So for example, the marinade, that could be a staple that you stock up on and just have
exactly
wherever.
Yes. Yeah. So back to staples, You know, so carbs.
Yeah.
Pastas, rice, potatoes, baby potatoes, red potatoes, gold potatoes, sweet potatoes. Like,
are carbs keto friendly?
No, they're not. But we have to talk about them because for a lot, like for my boys,
yeah,
like I personally eat low carb, yeah, low-ish carb, paleo-ish, Whole30-ish. I have my own little ish thing happening, but it's in that space.
Yeah.
But for my boys, they're basically like inhaling pasta and it doesn't even touch them.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of in this, I'm personally in this kind of funny place with that. But,
yeah,
but you know, I think for, you know, a rounded plate is going to have some sort of a carb.
Yeah.
My preferred one would be a sweet potato. And then it'll have the protein, which if you can get it on sale, get it, you know, stocked up, marinade, all that stuff. And then vegetables. So staples, pasta, rice, potatoes, because potatoes last a while.
Yeah.
I always have frozen vegetables.
Yeah.
Always. Because, you know, there might be an off week sale-wise or you forgot to grab extra zucchini or whatever.
Do you just steam your vegetables generally? Like just steam them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I steam either in our stovetop steamer rack or my instant pot.
Yeah, okay.
I have it's an electric pressure cooker. They're all the rage nowadays.
Yeah.
And I steam in that a lot because it just does a really good job with the pressure cooking, with the heat and the steam. It just cooks the vegetables beautifully.
Yeah.
Carrots and broccoli and even it steams salmon.
Really?
It's lovely.
I love salmon. And we get, I kind of joke, we get the Atlantic salmon that's farmed in Tasmania.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
But when I eat at home, I know that that's what I've got control over. Mm-hmm. And because I live by myself, I want it needs to be healthy, yum-ish. I'm more of it needs to be healthy tick, I'm full tick, and then I'll do flavor last.
Right.
Most people are like, flavor first.
Flavor first, sure.
I'm a freak.
Right. I'll just grill
some, or I've been ovening my salmon lately and just steaming some broccoli and beans, and it's amazing.
So good. And so easy. And that's rounded, right?
Totally.
That's a good rounded plate. So back to staples. I think also condiments of all varieties.
Sure.
However you want to do that, whether it's the specialty brand that has no sugar or you're making your own or, you know, because with, let's use chicken, for example. If I've got honey and I've got spicy brown mustard or even yellow mustard or like a Great Poupon style mustard, like one part honey, one part mustard, and you have a marinade.
Wow.
Right? Like it's so simple.
Mm.
And I think just all the condiments, so all the vinaigrettes, your favorite type of vinaigrette. I personally love a French vinaigrette. I also like a creamy balsamic, but I always have French vinaigrette. Salad, obviously, it's going to go on a salad. It's also a good marinade for meat and chicken and pork chops.
Wow.
Right? So if you have these sort of all in your fridge, like I have all the condiments.
Yeah.
All the condiments. And then, of course, spices, too. You can mix up a rub. You know, if you've got onion powder and garlic powder and cumin, gives that smoky flavor, and chili powder, that's taco seasoning.
Yeah.
Those four make up taco seasoning. So if you can kind of have those staples, you can mix up, if you have paprika, then you could mix up like a barbecue rub pretty easily that you could cook on some ribs or even steak. And so you just having those there, I'm a mix and match.
Sure.
Home chef. So just mixing and matching ingredients together. You know, we're pretty adventurous eaters, so we're not stuck in, you know, these are the 10 things we eat. We eat, you know, beyond that, partly because I'm a food blogger, but but also I think I probably would do it if I wasn't, just because I like, it's a fun game of mixing and matching what I've got in the pantry, in the fridge, and then what's on sale at the store. It just, I can always create some sort of a meal with those types of ingredients. Yeah.
And I find the times I've ate the best and spent the most efficiently or saved the most money was when I plan my weeks out. Do you, are you at the stage where you're still in a habit of planning, or have you just got enough stuff at your house and you just vibe it out, or I want to try something for the blog, or how do you personally?
So I think there's two phases for planning. One is you kind of plan based on what you're seeing. These are my recommended ones. I think these are, there's lots of different ways to do it, but this is what I would say to try or take a stab at this is You know, plan based on what sales you're seeing at your store. So if, you know, the steak is on, or the steak is on special, you might have to adjust it around if you see it once you're at the store.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, or something else is on sale, you might plan like 2 chicken meals this week since you got 2 packages of chicken. And so planning based on meat sales and produce sales, I think, is number one. And we recommend, like we talked about a minute ago, stocking up and buying enough to get you through, you know, a couple of weeks or even to the next time you think it'll be on sale, which is in the States, that's every 8 weeks or so. So
oh, really?
If you start to track that, you'll see patterns in the cuts of meat that you typically get.
So I think in Australia, it would almost be weekly sales for me.
It is, but it based on the cut of meat. So chicken's on sale this week, but it's not going to be on sale for another 8 weeks. Next week, beef chuck roast is going to be on sale, which is fantastic in the slow cooker.
Yeah.
It won't be on sale again for another 8 to 10 weeks. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So they kind of, the different cuts of meat kind of rotate through the sales cycles.
Yep.
And so if you can kind of watch that and track that, then you can predict a little bit better how much chicken do I need to get, or do I need to get 2 beef roasts, or should I get 4 to last, you know, a couple of weeks or months. And so what I find is once you kind of play that little game, really just with meat, you don't really need to do that. Maybe with some other staples, like if pasta is super cheap or maybe there's a coupon out for it, you can get a couple extra boxes. But so you plan based on what you're seeing on sale at your store. Well, eventually you'll start planning based on what you have in your freezer, the meats you've stocked up on, you know, the frozen vegetables you've stocked up. You'll start planning based on what you have and then kind of fill in with what's on sale maybe that week, or maybe, you know, whatever your favorite meals, like you always have spaghetti on, you know, Wednesday night or whatever.
Yeah.
So you kind of plan around your basics, and then does that make sense? You shift from planning in the week to planning what you've
got in stock. Yeah. And then the
mix and match
in.
Game. Yeah. You just mix it. And we've had some interesting meals where I'm like, that doesn't really go together.
We've got a thing, because it's really taking off in Australia, like the, you've got the busy life and you need to eat well, and we've got this thing called HelloFresh, and they post stuff to you for the 5 meals, all the ingredients and the instructions, and it's simple. I did that once, and it was actually not long ago, and it was assuming you have the staples.
So you have to have olive oil,
I've got olive oil, maybe, but I didn't have apple cider
pepper.
Vinegar or something like that, and then I'm like, oh, then you got to cook this and read instructions, and then, so I ditched that.
I think it works really well for some types of cooks. I have an account with a similar program, and I actually ordered one for this week while I was here. I'm gone from home for 8 days in a row, and I did make some freezer meals for my husband, and he's a freezer meal cook and pro. Like, we've been doing this for years, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to get a box this week. I usually skip them.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, I'm going to be out of town. It'll be good. It'll be fun for him to make something new and different. And he actually liked having something different, or having something to cook that was, he was cooking it. He likes to cook, but, you know, we work different schedules. It's easier for me to cook, and I'm a food blogger, so I kind of have to.
Yeah.
And so, but he liked it, but that's a really, it's a unique situation. Yeah. It's not something that we would do on the regular. So
a random question. So I'm big on like quality items, because you get what you pay for, right? Mm-hmm. If there's one thing in the kitchen that you should spend, if your budget was tight and there was one item that you had to just spend the money on that it's going to last you 10 years and it's easier to work with. So for example, I just purchased a new, because I got gas stovetop, and I just purchased a new kettle, and it was a French brand called Le Creuset. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Le Creuset.
I'm not even in that
it's
world.
It's fine, Le Creuset.
And, and it's a bloody expensive kettle, right? I love making tea, and that's my thing, right? Mm-hmm. However, I've got like, I still use the pots and pans that my mum purchased me when I moved out of home.
That are like $12 pots
a million years ago, and it's so annoying me. And like, I want to buy the Le Creuset or whatever the brand is, like skillet, but I can't bring myself to spending $300 on it. So is there something, or a Mixmaster or something, that you've got to pick your battle on?
Do you guys get Black Friday sales?
Probably more around the Boxing Day.
Oh, Boxing Day, of course.
Christmas.
Well, duh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'd watch for that then. Yeah. First would be my first thought. I am a very frugal person.
Sure.
just in general, but I do, there are some things that I like, you know, like eye cream. Yeah. I'm not getting any younger, so I have to wear my eye cream.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a handful of things that I choose to spend more money on than I necessarily have to.
Yeah.
Eye cream being one.
Yeah.
And I think cookware is another good one because it's going to last forever. I've had the same slow cooker for 10 years. It was $60.
Yeah.
And it's a beast. And it still cooks well. It's calibrated well still. So I think when it comes down to just cooking appliances, let me give you a generic one before I give you a specific one, is the brand name. Like get a crock pot brand slow cooker or get an instant pot brand electric pressure cooker. Like go with the brands that have the money. They're doing the testing, doing the calibrating.
And that's all they do.
It's all they do.
Yeah.
So that's my advice. Stand mixers. Get a KitchenAid.
Yeah.
Blender. Spend the money and get a Vitamix or a Blendtec. You'll be glad you did.
I think KitchenAid, like I'm the wrong person to be commenting on kitchen stuff because I'm not that person, but I think KitchenAid is the brand in Australia.
Yeah. So go with the brand for those appliances. As far as cookware goes, there are a number of different well-known brands as well. It kind of depends on the type of cooking. So Le Creuset is typically the ceramic cast iron or cast iron ceramic heavy. I have a Le Creuset Dutch oven that was a pretty penny.
Yeah.
The thing's a beast.
Yeah. Worth every cent, do you think?
Worth every cent.
Yeah.
And I got a larger one because we have a bigger family.
Yeah.
And I did get it when it was on the Black Friday sale. That's why I asked that.
I mean, if you're a freak and into budgeting and spreadsheets and want to, like, you could actually do an analysis of, like, okay, I'm going to spend $400 on a good crock pot or whatever, but I'm going to save money per week. This thing will pay itself off in 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So here's a perfect example of that. So during Black Friday, there's also these deals and opportunities to get like crock pots for $10.
Wow.
I'm like, that is wonderful. Good job saving money, getting your $10 crock pot. However, it's not going to cook well. It's going to run hot, which means it's going to dry stuff out. It's going to burn certain types of foods because it's not calibrated well because it's a cheap crock pot. So you're going to try one dinner.
Yeah.
$10, $15 of ingredients down the tube because it's going to ruin your dinner. Try another one because you think, oh, it was the wrong recipe. It's going to ruin the second dinner. And then you have to throw. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So like, that's why that's why I say go with the brand names. And so, I think you have to do that analysis of like, okay, my Le Creuset Dutch oven that I've had for, I think, two, three years now. I think it was three Christmases ago. Like, that thing is not going anywhere.
No.
It's going to be 20 years working in my kitchen or more. That's a
hopefully
worthy investment.
Hopefully you can give it to a grandchild.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
I would love to do that. And so I think the same is true for just any cookware.
Mm.
I think you have to, I would start with one piece of cookware based on the type of cooking you do.
Mm.
So if you're just like a quick weeknight skillet chef and you just like to do, you know, some proteins and sauces and maybe, you know, cook in some pasta or rice, stir fry, then I would get a really great non-stick 12-inch skillet with a lid.
Mm. Because when I got a stir fry pot, like a
wok,
from IKEA, and it was rubbish.
Yeah,
but it was like $8.
I wouldn't buy cookware from IKEA. No. Sorry, IKEA.
Yeah,
they're great for a lot of things, and I have many of their products in my home, but not cookware.
But it's actually fun. I probably will upgrade my pots and pans, or at least like these shoes. Right, they're really good quality boots. Yeah, they're $600 a pair. But I can pay.
You've worn them forever.
I've worn them for a while, yeah. Like, these are my new ones. I take them and get the soles redone for $120. But conversely, my spectacles, people spend like $500 on glasses, right? These are like a three for $100 because I said to the glasses shop, I'm like, oh, what's the warranty on these? Because they were three for $100. They're like, oh, 12 months. Do you want to buy the extended one? And you're like, mate, I'm
not
fashion. It's fashion.
Money.
It's disposable. I'm going to get rid of them in a year. So
I
guess it's like stuff in your kitchen, like my shoes that are going to be around, that, you know. And I think knives are important as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big Henkel's fan.
Right.
I agree. You know, knives and then taking care of them. I think a lot of times people don't sharpen often enough or they're not sharpening the correct way.
Mm.
Could look on YouTube to learn how to do
I've got a friend who's a chef and we call him First Class Dave because billionaires in the UK pay for him to fly over there and cook for them. Anyway, he sharpens my knives for me.
That's awesome.
I'll show you his Instagram.
I know, you gotta tell me what it is. Yeah. Look.
He does my knives. And I gave him one for you because he knows
what he's doing.
Yeah, that's right. And he's like, I almost didn't give you this one back.
Yeah.
Because like, one was just like, rubbish.
I'm going to throw this one away. Time to upgrade.
I think we've covered a lot to get people really thinking. For the listeners out there who may have kids and packing lunches, are there any like cheap wins that you've found with your boys?
So packing lunches, I think, gets to be hard because there's this school lunchroom pressure.
Yeah.
For the kids to have the best lunchbox.
Sure.
I don't know why it's a thing, but it's a thing. It is. And so we have kind of taken the approach of, okay, for simplicity's sake, and actually the kids want this. I ask them often, what else do you want? Do you want to try something new? They more or less take the same thing for lunch every day, which is really fantastic. It's easy. It helps with budgeting. Like I have to buy two big old boxes of strawberries every week.
Yeah.
Like every week. Cannot. And if they're on sale, then I'll buy extra strawberries and put them in the freezer for smoothies,
just
right?
Quick sidebar. Do you know in Australia at the moment, every strawberry has been destroyed because
we heard about this. You told me about this.
Yeah, the needles.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Okay, well, that's creepy. Don't put strawberries in your lunchboxes.
But it's like, I'm thinking you can still buy them and cut them.
Pick blueberries and strawberries or
someone
raspberries.
Someone like was doing a copycat and was
that's wild.
Putting in bananas and they found them in New Zealand. Like it's...
What? Who does that?
Some sicko. It's crazy.
Okay, that is creepy.
But anyway,
So keep it simple. So they take the same little sandwich or the same little... We have these mini tacos that I get in bulk and grapes and strawberries and maybe some deli meat or some protein, some cheese cubes or cheese string cheese. It's pretty much the same for each kid. And then I try to add like one kind of fun thing that they can either eat themselves or they can trade.
Yeah.
Which sounds so weird, but there's this whole like underground trading system in the lunchroom. I don't get it, but it's like a thing. And they're like, and so I'll get these like, you know, the little snacky things that are a little bit more expensive, but they are convenient. And so, you know, you have to weigh and balance that as well. But I think for us, it's keeping it simple, kind of the same things week after week with a little bit of variety. And then for me, as a not morning person, it's been teaching them to make their own lunches has just been huge on the tactical side of it. But as far as a budget for it goes, it's just, you know, it's easy to do the package stuff. So you have to kind of weigh, like, make this myself or do the package. I also, we have only one kiddo really likes sandwiches.
Yeah.
The rest really don't. And they need a good protein / carb in their lunch, which is what a sandwich typically is. And so I will do a lot of baking with extra protein into the batter for muffins or banana bread. Like I do a lot of that. So they have something that's heavy and is going to hold them, but it's also going to fuel them.
Yeah.
And so just trying to balance all of that's tricky, but I've kind of narrowed it down to like, you know, like more or less the same thing for each kid. And it's, I think that makes it easier in the mornings to get them packed. We pack in the mornings. I know a lot of people pack at night, but we do the mornings. And then the kids are doing it. They're
kind
of choosing.
One cool thing I saw, my friend who's listened to the show, hi Mel, she's in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, nice.
Her, in her kitchen area, there's a side table and there's different types of cereal, like a buffet. So the kids just choose what they want that day for breakfast.
Yep.
And it's just like, nah, you're old enough to...
You're on your own.
Yeah. Which I thought it was cool.
Anything like that that you can do just to make your world in the kitchen smooth. Like I have four boys when they're, and our kitchen's a pretty good size, but when they're in there, it's like a circus. Get out of my way, running into people, help, I have a hot pan.
Yeah.
Like it just becomes this mess. And so anything you can do like that to streamline the process for them to make it easier for them, but also to get them out of your way.
Yeah.
So we kind of have a table like that too, that's just between the kitchen and the where we eat, in our little breakfast nook area. We have a table over there that all the snacks are. So they actually basically go around the kitchen to get snacks so that they don't have to come in or through it. And it's just those practical little things and little changes that you can make to make your life in the kitchen easier. I think life in the kitchen easier, grocery shopping life easier, all that stuff. Anything, any one little thing that you can do to tweak make it easier.
And I think,
make it
like,
better.
Don't try and do everything at once. So what I started to do, like, I don't have any soft drink, like, soda in my house. Mm-hmm. I have sparkling mineral water. Mm-hmm. I've usually got some fresh lime.
LaCroix, yeah, for us.
Oh, I love LaCroix.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I come
have
to America.
Have you seen me walking around with it here?
Seriously?
I have a whole case of it in my room.
I want one. I love it. I love, what did I have? Pineapple strawberry the other day.
So good. I wish I'd known when I would have brought you one.
I love it. So at home, but what I had to do to make it a habit, it wasn't just stopping. So it was like maybe from Coke, I moved to Coke Zero.
Right.
And then from Coke Zero, I moved to the sparkling water. Mm-hmm. So try and do the one percenters over time like you would with your personal spending.
Makes a big difference.
Just try and make things habit, not this nuke of changing everything once, because nothing will.
And then you'll flop and get frustrated and go back to your old ways.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure.
We might leave it there, but where can everyone reach out with your content?
$5 dinners. So the number 5.
Yep.
And then dollardinners.com, all spelled out. And we are everywhere. Yeah. We are on Pinterest. We are on Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
And but the best place to start for some ideas for grocery saving tips, we have, you know, well, saving on Amazon in the U.S. would be different from what you guys are seeing. But we have all that content right on the front of our blog.
Yeah.
So we have our homepage, which has more information about everything. And then we have our blog, which has the recipes, all the budget-friendly recipes we share, savings content.
Amazon and Costco are now in Australia. Like, we are basically just, it's, this stuff is so relevant.
And it's disrupting. They're probably disrupting all of the grocery space there, which is good for you guys.
Because
I know that it's, you know, it's expensive.
Totally. So if all else fails, just Google Aaron Chase
$5
dinners. We'll put something up on Instagram. And learn some great tips. But thank you so much. This was really, I've been encouraged. I'm going to go and buy a good skillet.
You need a good skillet. I love it.
Show you a photo.
I love it. I can't wait to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Ghetto Proprietary Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.